Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm in London, got my beef in London.
Ice style, no stylish. No Chanel, Saint Laurent, Gucci bag.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Let's talk a little college football. Ranking the returning quarterbacks in tiers. Pretty easy, the top tier. Tier one is Lawrence and Fields. Those guys are head and shoulders above everybody else. This, and here, I don't know that I believe this. Fields was certainly the most efficient passer last year. He averaged a solid 2 more air yards per attempt with a better TD interception ratio. He struggled early. He also had drops. They dropped a whopping 65% more catchable passes than Ohio State's wide receivers. That's a lot. And that's reflected in his completion percentage. He did throw interceptions early, but dude really turned it around. He wasn't great in the championship game, though. That's for sure. But I'll take Trevor Lawrence all day over Justin Fields. I saw Justin Fields really struggle in the postseason. He struggled mightily against Wisconsin. He struggled against Michigan, Wisconsin, and then he had a pretty good game against Clemson. But they needed him to make plays at the end, and he didn't. Tier two, would you agree with that though?
For Fields or just the actual? You want to move him down, or you're just talking about what?
No. Well, first of all, that those two are. You take Lawrence before Fields, right?
Sure. He's got everything you would want. He's won a title. But Fields is a guy. Remember, that's only his first year starting, so we'll see what he is in a second year at Ohio State. I imagine he'll be a guy at the end of the season because Ohio State produces numbers no matter who the quarterback is. Who is probably a top five pick. Lance, you could speak to it probably better than anyone.
No, I mean, I've watched him a little bit. I didn't see an elite quarterback last year when I watched him because I had to watch all the wide receivers, so I saw a lot of passes. But there were things I saw at the end of the year that I really liked. And he makes plays off schedule. He's got size. Yeah, I'm operating like when he comes out, he's going to be a top five pick. I'm the same way. And I also only see two quarterbacks in that tier right now. So
yeah.
Once you tier one is two quarterbacks, but I am interested to see if Jamie Newman, who is with Georgia now, doesn't maybe enter the mix. I think Jamie Newman is going to be a quarterback who makes a little noise this year.
Well, he's in tier two. Here's tier two: Tanner Morgan from Minnesota, Sam Ellinger from Texas,
yep,
Brock Purdy from Iowa State,
yep.
Derek King, Miami. Brady White, Memphis. I'm going to tell you what. I think Brady White is going to be a good pro. Keaton Slovis from USC.
Slovis has a chance to be in tier one.
Yeah. Sam Howell from North Carolina. And he's got a chance when he's a junior and senior. He's got a chance to be up there as well. Shane Buechel, SMU. Kyle Trask from Florida. And Jamie Newman from Georgia.
See, I would tighten up. That's a lot in tier two. I would tighten up tier two and probably.
Although any of these guys, though, could step up and have huge. And they all could step up and have huge seasons.
Yeah, you could. Well, okay, so are we just rank it just as college?
College quarterbacks.
Their output is just college quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Because, see, the guy you're not mentioning that is going to have a big year is KJ Costello from Mississippi State with Mike Leach. He transferred from Stanford. He is going to have a big year at Mississippi State under Mike Leach. And you also didn't mention the kid from UCF.
Dylan Gabriel, well, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dylan they're Gabriel. Mentioned, but not in Tier 2. They're both
they're in
mentioned.
Three.
Yeah.
They're in
yeah.
Tier 3. Along with, well, there's some pretty good quarterbacks. Ian Book, who is, his accuracy is iffy. Charlie Brewer. Mikhail Cunningham from Louisville.
Did you not have Kellen, did you put Derek King in Tier 2?
In Tier 2, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Kellen Mond, Texas A&M.
These are Tier 3?
These are Tier 3. Jaden Daniels from Arizona State.
No, Jaden Daniels is – I think Jaden Daniels, if he wasn't such a bone-thin quarterback, I saw some stuff on tape where I was like, whew, this kid is talented. I think he is a deadlock Tier 2 quarterback for me. He's only 105 pounds, I think, so that's the concern.
Is that the problem? Dylan Gabriel from UCF, Zach Thomas, Appalachian State, KJ Costello from Mississippi State, Drew Plitt, Ball State, Sean Clifford, Penn State, Jack Cohn, Wisconsin, Chris Robeson,
Brock
FAU,
Purdy in
Anthony
tier
Russo.
Two.
Brock Purdy is in Tier 2. Brock okay. Purdy's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he is.
Anthony Russo, Skylar Thompson, Kansas State, and Shea Wirtz, Georgia Southern.
Basically, every quarterback in college football is in Tier 3.
Here's who's not included, and I'm telling you, I've talked to their coaches. Grant Gunnell. Grant Gunnell is going to come out of nowhere because he's got very he got on the field last year, but Grant Gunnell is going to have a huge year for Arizona. He is very talented, and they are everything that they've seen from him. He's a leader, and everything that they've seen from him in practice. Grant Gunnell is going to have a big year. He's going to come out of nowhere, right? And huge, 6'6". He's not thin. He's put together well, and he's got a gun, and he can run too. So, watch Grant Gunnell,
dude. He didn't. No one talked about them. Why didn't he play more?
Because Khalil.
Well, yeah. Once again, why didn't he play more?
Yeah, right.
Khalil Tate stunk.
He really did.
He
Khalil Tate was a lot better before somebody got there.
Yeah, because he ran more.
Yeah.
That was important. I mean, that was a big part of who he was.
He never progressed. He regressed.
Well, he's just wildly inaccurate. But Grant Gunnell had 9 touchdowns and 1 interception on the season.
Mm-hmm. How he's not included in this thing is – no, they
Well, he didn't play enough, but yeah, do a little homework. I mean, he was highly regarded too.
Tier 4 for Gunnell.
Oh, he got in Tier 4?
Yeah, he is mentioned along the lights of, Miles Brennan, who's...
Bo Nix.
Yeah, those guys, Tier 4.
It's funny, looking at one from... See if you guys like this one better. This is from the Sporting News, and it's got Bryce Young from Alabama, 25, Miles Brennan, 24, Sean Clifford, Penn State, 23, Bo Nix, 22, Charlie Brewer... Who Charlie deserves to be in tier, I think, tier 3. 21, 20, KJ Costello. 19, Dylan Gabriel. 18, Mac Jones from Alabama. So there's 2 guys from Bama right now. Shane Buechele, 17. He's going to have a big year statistically. Mm-hmm. Brady White, 16. Spencer Sanders, 15. Kyle Trask, 14. Spencer Rattler, 13 from Oklahoma. Kellen Mond, 12. Derek King, 11. Jamie Newman, 10. I think that's too low. Tanner Morgan, 9. Brock Purdy, 8. Jaden Daniels, 7. Keaton Slovis, 6. Ian Book, 5. Sam Ellinger, 4. Sam Howell, 3. And then Fields, and then Trevor Lawrence. I actually like that. I like that.
Ian Book is way too high.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Ian Book's way too high. Keaton Slovis is too low at 6. I'd put him in the top 4. But I actually like this. I like this. Personally, I like this list a little bit better. I think they're a little too low on Jamie.
Where was Sam Ellinger? I didn't hear him.
He was 4.
Oh, he was 4.
I mean.
He's 4 in the other list, too, if you go by ranking.
Yeah.
He'll have good. He did lose a couple wide receivers, but he's got some good young wide receivers over there. He'll have a good. His offensive line.
They didn't even have Brady White in there?
Yeah. Brady White was. Brady White was. I'm not a huge Brady White guy after studying him, but. It's a good offense they have. They got him at 16.
He's got a little different throwing motion, but he's very accurate.
I mean, he threw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
33 touchdowns.
He's got a new coach over there. Mm-hmm. Mike Norvell, former Memphis coach, is now at Florida State. So I imagine they'll if the system's not exactly the same, it'll be relatively similar. I mean, how many teams are not running the spread now? Trying to figure out, Ryan Silverfeld's the new head coach. I'm trying to see if he was there beforehand.
They said there's some familiarity, so I wonder if he was the OC.
He coached the bowl game. So maybe.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so. So maybe he was already part of Memphis's program.
It just seems like anytime you have a program, unless it is a smaller, unless it's a smaller program, you know, the Boise States will usually promote from within and stuff like that. It just seems like a lot of times there's just not the promoting from within.
I'm looking at it, and I think he was Memphis's assistant head coach and O-line coach. So he wasn't the OC. I think Mike Norvell took the OC to Florida State, but he's been part of the program since 2016. So there's some familiarity there. So I imagine whoever he hired as OC probably won't change it too much. So Brady White should be fine as far as the offense.
Yeah. It's weird talking about college football.
I'm going to tell you this, too, and not just because he's my boy, but Clayton Tune is going to have a nice year, a very nice year. If he can stay, he's got to stay healthy, first of all. And second, if he does, he can run and he can throw. And I think a year into this offense now, it's going to make a big difference, a big difference for him. And he's going to have better players around him all the way around. This is Clayton Tune is totally ignored on this list, and obviously, and yours is top 25. This one goes all the way. This one has five tiers to it, and he's not mentioned. He'll be up on the list at the end of this season.
We shall see. He better be.
Yep.
He better be. University of Tillman is going to be upset if not.
No, they're going to be. The Cougs are going to be better this year.
Well, yeah. That's why they need him to play well.
Yeah. No. He's got to play well. Yeah. 713-780-3776 is the number.
If you guys want to come in for some college football, how about a little college football talk if you want to jump in?
What about that? How about just call? What do you want to talk about? 713-780-3776 and come hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. Give us a little jab if you want.
Right now I'm talking about my friends over at TGS Insurance. And TGS Insurance is a company who, what they do is they aggregate these A-rated homeowners insurance companies. And from there, they give you an opportunity to lower your homeowners insurance bill, basically, for the year and put the money back in your pocket. And a lot of times when we think of lowering rates or cutting costs, we think of losing service, but that's not the case. You can still get A-rated insurance, you know, an A-rated insurance company, an A-rated insurance provider for a much, much lower rate. The average savings is in the neighborhood of $900 annually. And even if you've signed up for the entire year and you say, well, I'm already under contract, you actually are not. You're not under a contract with homeowners insurance. You can, or car insurance, you can switch at any time and they have to provide you your prorated amount back. So if you know you're paying more, why not switch over today to an A-rated company for less money through TGS Insurance and then have the other company send you your payment back if you paid in advance? That makes more sense. Start saving today and you literally can switch over today. It's as easy as getting it done within 45 minutes. Text money to 232323. And they'll give you a firm quote within 15 seconds. Text money, the word money, to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:15 ESPN 97.5, shortest breaks in the world right here on ESPN 97.5. It's unbelievable. Can't even take a pee. Just unbelievable. So I'm holding it right now. So just know that I'm doing this for my country.
What? You're doing it for your country?
Yeah.
You're not peeing for your country?
Right.
I think your country would be fine if you went to the restroom.
No. Because, you know, oh, then I'd miss the start of the segment like Lance does?
I don't think we're supposed to talk about that, but whatever.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm not. I'm not like that. I'm dedicated
to you just,
God, country, and Coors Light.
And you just missed the final 5 minutes of the show yesterday, but whatever.
You what?
Yeah, you just missed the final 5 minutes of the show yesterday.
So. Oh, how about that it made it all the way until 10:55, and then they shut it, then they cut it off.
They couldn't have held out, huh? A couple more minutes.
They couldn't have held out five more minutes.
No.
What did you guys do? We were doing News of the Weird. What happened?
Well, I flipped it. I just recap what we talked about throughout the day. Your issues with baseball and Rob Manfred. Reds off some of Trevor Bauer's tweets. And then Lance popped back in because he had to run back in here as an emergency. And what did we discuss? We discussed the money loss because, you know, that's Lance's deal. The money loss from COVID, at least for an NFL season.
He's a numbers guy.
The salary cap and how COVID would affect the NFL. Yeah, so he's a numbers guy.
Oh, boring. Instead of News of the Weird, this is what you did?
That's what he wants to do.
We lost every listener. Congratulations.
Yeah, there wasn't some man in Russia who had sex with a bear. So I didn't get to that story. Sorry.
You didn't get to that story?
No.
Okay, that's what the people want to hear.
Okay.
No, what they really want to hear is about LSU. Let's get Lane in here. He wants to talk about LSU. Hey, Lane.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to get y'all's honest opinion on the program over there at LSU. You know, huge fan. I believe purple and gold. And I know, you know, with the loss of Dave Arondis and then you had a Joe go over there to Carolina, I just wanted to get y'all's honest opinion on what kind of season they're looking to have. And I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Well, here's the deal is Miles Brennan has got to – we'll see. I mean, if they continue – if they're going to have the same offense, we'll see what Ensminger learned from Brady because he learned a lot. He had to have learned a lot from Brady. Without Brady there now, though, they're not going to be as good. Without, you know, Chase Young is back, but just about – what did they lose, 20 starters?
Yeah, Jamar Chase is the big name that remains. Yeah, it's going to be almost a completely different squad in terms of who the important figures are. The coordinators are gone, as Lane mentioned. I think they're going to wind up, not that the polls matter, but once those polls come out, they'll still be a top 10 team, certainly on reputation and clearly what they did last year. But I'm not sure that's a team that's going to finish the year in the top 15.
No. I don't know that, you know, Texas has got a bunch of people back. They do have new coordinators, but they got a bunch of people back, including their quarterback. You know, that's what, week two?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, I know it's in Tiger Stadium, but again, what kind of home field advantage are you going to have, especially early on? I don't know. But I it's going to be awfully difficult. When you're listen, the LSU gets plenty of talent, and maybe now more than ever they'll get. You know, he can go into any house now. What after last year, one of the greatest college football seasons ever, and he can, you know, he can sell that program now. But is he loaded for bear to replace all of those pros? They have 16 guys drafted. What was it? No. Yeah, was it 15?
Yeah, I think
guys
it
drafted?
Was it 14?
14 or 15 guys drafted, right?
Yeah,
and then a couple of undrafted free agents. So I mean, that's ridiculous to have to replace all of that for a college football team. But and especially when you really didn't have an off season, where those guys, it could well affect LSU more than anybody. Who is making wholesale changes from basically offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and 16 starters that are gone. I mean, when it's going to be as difficult as it is anyway, even with returning guys, when you don't have an off season, how about when you got to replace your whole team, including your quarterback? So, if I'm LSU fan, I'm not gonna this year. It's Lanya. You know what? You just live off of last year. You go, hey, coach. Go do your best. Go get him, coach.
Oh, you want? If you don't get a honeymoon off of this,
yeah.
There is no honeymoon ever for anything, ever, for the rest of eternity.
That was one of the great college football seasons ever.
Yeah.
And it showed by how many pros they had.
Well,
I mean,
you
want to talk about a perfect storm.
So many players elevated their game.
Yeah.
so many players elevated their game last year. Like, it's rare that that many players at once play so much better. It's just something that you don't see a lot. And young wide receiver Chase jumped up. But Jordan Jefferson got better. Joe Burrow, it's, you know, Joe Burrow had the greatest. I've never seen an improvement from one season to the next ever that substantial in any sport ever in history. Never. I have never. So, yeah, it's this isn't your year. This won't be your year.
No.
And I'm not sure it's going to be okay. Alabama's year either. I think this is the year that we see someone else win the SEC.
And you know who it could be? I'm going to put it out there.
You're going to say Aggs.
It could be the Aggs.
That's because you're a good Aggie.
No, it could be the Aggs, and maybe it should be. They don't play Alabama or LSU until the last two games. They've got a much easier preseason schedule where they won't get. They're not playing Clemson in the preseason. There's no reason with the coaching staff back, with the quarterback back, with all the returning starters that they have. There's no reason that they shouldn't be competing for this title. There's no reason.
I'm trying to think because Auburn has. You know, Auburn lost two really good defensive linemen. Their quarterback was not very good last year, but it's his second year. He'll be better this year. But when you think about it, really the team that is in position from a returning starter standpoint, I'm just trying to work through this in my mind. I think, I think Ole Miss could be interesting. Mississippi State could be interesting. But A&M really is in position to potentially make some noise. They have a running back coming back. You know, they're going to be healthier at running back. Kellen Mond needs to take a step up. He didn't take a step up last year. And that was very disappointing. The offensive line is going to be much better with another year under their belt. You may not be off on that one. A&M's got the chance this year when you look at the way everything lays out. South Carolina, their quarterback transferred. But the one who's in place, I think, is still there. So, you know, Kentucky lost Lynn Bowden.
Yeah, they don't have to really. Is that who they're playing on the other side?
Well, I'm just working through the entire SEC. Well, okay, so Georgia's probably.
Just look at the West.
Georgia's probably the favorite. Georgia's probably the favorite because Jamie Newman, they have a legitimate quarterback returning. They're always loaded at running back. They did lose their offense.
Alabama's the favorite.
What's that?
Alabama's the favorite.
Yeah, that's fine, but I think Georgia will get him this year.
I think Mac Jones was underrated as far as his play.
I thought he was just a guy who had some three phenomenal wide receivers to throw to and did just okay.
Well, he's still got wide receivers. He's still going to be okay there. You think Mississippi State and Ole Miss are going to be interesting? I think it's going to take a little while for them to get going. They talk new coaches, quarterbacks. I mean, no time, no offs, and especially as complex as it's going to be for KJ Costello at Mississippi State to not have him all off season. I know Leach has probably been teaching him everything,
and he is a veteran.
But to actually get the reps is another.
That's the problem. But he is a veteran. Yeah, to go from Stanford's offense to Leach's is a pretty substantial. It's like leaping from the 50s into the 2020s. It's a pretty big leap. But with that said, he's a guy who's played a lot of football. So, relatively speaking, I mean, he's been a starter. It's not brand new to him. And I question how difficult Mike Leach's offense is to learn when you had, you know, Gardner Minshew coming in for 1 year and putting up big numbers. And you've had Luke Falk. Like, you've had different quarterbacks all the time who just come in, learn it, go, big numbers. I don't know that KJ Costello, it's going to be that crazy difficult. A lot of times those spreads are some of the easiest to learn, and so many calls are made from the sideline anyway. But, yeah, not having reps or as many reps, that's going to be the concern. You know, for people like me who do draft stuff, I'm making sure I have as much 2019 tape as possible because if something happens where there's no college football, I got to get ready for the draft based on what they did the year before. And for a guy like KJ Costello, that's zero. He transferred. I won't even have him on tape unless I want to go to 18. And I don't even feel like that's fair going that far back, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. That's fun, talking some college football. It'll be. I think the college football season is going to start on time. I think they're going to do it with limited amount of fans. I think that's the one sport, and I think the NFL is going to push it back to October 1st. They're going to push those week two. In week two, every team has the same bye week.
But why are they pushing it? Okay, but here's the question. Why are they pushing it back when when Fauci tells baseball, no. Don't go into October with your World Series. You need to like, why would the NFL? That feels counterintuitive.
I think they're trying to get as much time as possible to vaccine. I do. I think they're probably thinking we need as much time as, because listen, they're going into February regardless. The Super Bowl's in February, so there's really nothing you can do. It's not like you can play a baseball. You can play your baseball season in the
now,
summer. You can't play your whole football season in the heat.
Now it is expected, from what I have read, it is expected, like, I know initially it was thought to be potentially as early as the early part of January, sometime in January. I know it's been moved up. I think there is a chance it could be in December. We could have some level or form of inoculations. I think that's by what? December. I want to recheck this, but if the NFL can do that, you know, you do wonder. You do wonder if maybe it changes, if maybe the playoffs have people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it'll look like. It's hard to say in Houston right now, because there was a time where we were just like, man, everything looks like it's going to be great. Now it's, ooh, yeah, I'd be a little more careful here with some of
827 ESPN 97.5.
Go ahead and go to the Galleria sometime and go see the mask count there. You can keep it on one hand.
I'm not doing that. I'm not going to Galleria.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. NBA recommends first row coaches wear masks during gameplay. That'll be okay. Especially the older ones.
No. You want your money? You want your money? Okay. Let's follow some rules. Here's your money. Or you can have your maskless freedom and not get your paychecks and bust up your BRI next year.
Well, I don't know if you've seen Aubrey Huff ain't having none of it.
Who does he play for?
Aubrey Huff?
Yeah.
He plays for the conservatives he plays for, basically. Okay.
I don't care about Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. I don't care, but Aubrey Huff is out of the game. We're talking professional sports coming back.
Take your coronavirus mask and stick it where the sun don't shine, Aubrey says. Aubrey Huff is a good follow. Are you following Aubrey Huff?
I'm not really that
he
interested.
He is.
I don't follow most athletes.
Dell, you follow him, don't you?
No, I ain't got time for Aubrey Huff.
What you talking about, Aubrey Huff?
You heard me. I was pretty clear.
Aubrey Huff is bringing it.
Good.
Okay.
I don't follow any athletes. Athletes at all. Why do I care what they have to say?
Well, no, but Aubrey Huff talks about he's a good follow.
I don't need to, because
interesting.
Anytime he says something that's newsworthy, people will make a story out of it. I don't have to follow him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and like Lance said, who cares what Aubrey Huff thinks? Is he going to affect if basketball gets played or not? No. So I don't care what Aubrey Huff has to say. I do care about what guys who are actually playing have to say, because I just want to watch basketball.
Yeah, that's my number one concern, is not, hey, what did a former major leaguer say about basketball?
Oh, what did?
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He's just talking about masks in general.
Well, my report. What is this?
I just want to know, is Aubrey Huff active in any sport that's going to be played on TV?
Why
no.
is Tom Arnold then arguing with Aubrey Huff? See, why do you have me even looking at this nonsense?
No.
Ooh, Tom Arnold and Aubrey Huff are having a fight on Twitter is the worst sentence that you could have told me on June 17th.
Didn't he have, Dell, didn't he have Islamic women feeding him grapes and stuff.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, they should be thankful because they saved them, because we saved them from a hellhole. And then he drew like this bad. It was a bad drawing of Islamic woman fanning him with palms and then feeding him grapes. And they should just feel thankful that this is happening for them because it could always be worse.
Yeah,
that's the guy who you're talking about.
That's who I'm talking about. That's right. Feed him grapes because we saved you. Okay.
And by the way, Aubrey Huff didn't save anyone. Was he ever in the military? So he didn't save anyone.
So what do you guys think now about the hotel situation? And we're going to talk about this, right?
Yeah, we've got Keith Smith.
What's your boy?
It's not my boy. I just reached out to him. He is a Yahoo contributor, has done plenty of basketball stuff, but he also worked for Disney World and Disney as a company. And he knows the intricacies of what they're trying to do and what those hotels are. And he has sources with Disney. So what the plan is for Disney to try to accommodate not only the NBA, but the MLS. So we'll be joined by Keith Smith at 9:00. He's a basketball writer, but also a cast member, or at least a former one. That's what they call the employees at Disney. They're all cast members.
So he's trying to become an NBA writer?
Well, it's not trying. He does that already. I mean, he's got about 50,000 followers or so. So he's a legitimate dude. But during this time, certainly a full-time gig someplace would certainly help the cause, certainly for him. But he's accredited. He broke the story originally that that Disney and the NBA were working on this particular deal. And he just has some insight because he's worked for that company.
Coronado Springs, the Grandestino Tower at Coronado Springs, considered to be the main hotel. I don't know. I've been to Disney World once. But yeah, I was wondering. So they've got how many courts? We gotta ask him about this. How many courts are there? How's this gonna work? What's the seating? Are they gonna be able to separate some people if people are able to go? If there's anybody that's able to go and watch, how many different basketball? Why does Disney have a bunch of basketball courts?
Well, they had the wide world of sports. They have that down there, and they've hosted college basketball tournaments down there. They have a legit 8,000 seat arena, which was their main court for that stuff. They've hosted high school stuff.
IMG's in that area, right?
IMG's in Bradenton. I'm not sure how close that is to Orlando, to be honest with you.
Why they have that many basketball courts? Because there's cheese to be made.
Yeah, you can host tournaments, high school tournaments, college basketball, those holiday tournaments.
I'm sorry, John. Do you have a problem with us having basketball here?
Hey, John, stop asking questions about our business practices. Hey, don't you know we've got our fingers in everything? And if I hear you call me a rat one more time, I'm going to beat your ass, Granado. Watch yourself. Yeah, why wouldn't Disney have basketball courts? We got to make that bread.
You keeping Disney's name in your mouth, John?
You know, I eat cheese, but I need that bread for the cheese to be put on, John. Watch yourself, buddy. Like, don't question how Disney rolls. Of course they would have that. They have soccer fields for the MLS. Of course they would. They have their own wide world of sports down there.
They have a baseball field for the Braves.
Yeah,
they've been ready for a hostile takeover of sports for a long time now.
We've been waiting for our opportunity. Some people might think we created COVID. But those people are dead because we don't like questions.
No, we know the Chinese have. Our president's told us.
That's what we told you.
That's the China virus. Yeah. It's the China virus.
Hey, you know who told him to call it Wuhan? Someone named Mickey. Yeah, keep spreading that propaganda. Of course it's the China virus, John. You know better.
Hey, I'm on board, Mick. Okay, well, I am totally behind you 100%.
You were
Mickey.
Talking kind of flagrant 2 weeks ago.
No,
keep it in check, John.
You're my guy. You're my guy, Mick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I said goofy over there to talk to you, and now I'm your guy. Keep it that way.
I don't send pizzas. Maybe you didn't hear.
Yeah, I send a dog with a bat. You think goofy's goofy? That's because I hit him in the head with the bat. Now he listens to me. Watch yourself, John.
Originally posted, so we'll talk to Keith Smith about Mickey and all that. Working for what it was like. I know what it's like working for Mickey.
You bet your ass you do.
You're damn right. I'm behind him 100%. So we'll talk to Keith Smith at the top of the hour about that. Hey, there's a renewed hope, growing consensus for college football playoff expansion. Apparently now, a consensus appears to be growing for expansion. While a decision might be a few years away, we could reportedly see an 18 playoff before 2026. The benefits for conferences are obvious. Now more than ever, the NCAA and its universities rely heavily on television contracts and broadcasting rights to playoff games. Are one of the hottest commodities in sports. Expanding to an 18 college football playoff could generate hundreds of millions for the NCAA, which would be spread across universities into hundreds of athletic programs. I don't know why you don't do it right now. They need it right now.
Do you, all right, let me just throw this out here randomly since you got me thinking. What happens if maybe the college football says, look, now this is radical. This is extraordinarily radical. But what if college football says, look, we believe that, you just can't do it. I'm trying to think of a way that college football maybe has a multiple game playoff system. They have regular season games, but a truncated regular season, maybe just, you know, where you would just have conference games, and then you go to some type of tournament format, just as something to preclude you from having to play deep into the fall where they think there's an issue with coronavirus coming back, a second wave, because you don't even want to Google what's going on in Beijing right now or you'll flip out. But that's just not possible. There's too many. It's easier to do it if you have 32 teams in a league or 30 teams in a league. You can't do that with that many college football teams. It's just and the money would just, it would crater teams who can't get into the playoffs because they need to play those games also. And they're already going to be hurt as is.
This revenue is vital, And, you know, and here's the, the Power Five get the champions, two at large and one group of five, because you got to include the people. You got to include those people. They have got to have a chance, and their television contracts will be more valuable if they have a chance. The Athletic or the Mountain West or Conference USA, they'll be more valuable because one of their teams could possibly be in the playoff, and so people would watch to see that those best teams play to see who's going to get there. It's now more than ever you got to have. We talk, every athletic director, go to see Armageddon is hitting college athletics if there's no college football season. How many times have we seen, how many stories have we seen about how vital it is to have a college football season and a college football season with fans? And so if you can add, if the networks are willing to pay hundreds of millions more for to get four more teams in, then you're stupid. You're stupid if you don't do it.
Where does the money go?
The money gets dispersed.
To the players?
Throughout.
Because if it's not the players, I'm telling you now, if you think that you've heard a lot of strong opinions about players not being paid previously, you are about to see it go to an all-time record.
Well, that's fine. But the players get, you know what? Again, don't be stupid. Let the market pay the players. Don't start paying the schools. Start paying them. Let the market pay the players. And if they deserve the money, they'll get the money. If they can create websites, if they can sell cars, if they can whatever their talents are.
And that actually is going to be universally approved, I believe, without question.
Yes. And so that's smart. So now the payers, okay, you've appeased those people. Now we got to pay, but let's not forget, college football pays for everything. So you know how many rowing teams and wrestling teams and volleyball and all of these sports are being canceled at universities across the country because they can't afford it because they're so worried that they're not going to have a college football season, or they think that they're not going to bring in the money from a college football season. Add more money to it by expanding the playoffs. There you go. There's at least it'll help. It'll help alleviate some of it. It's not going to make up for everything that's being lost, but do all you can. No, we can't. It can't have an eight. Why? Why can't you have four more teams play instead of playing in bowl games? Instead of playing in bowl games, they'll play in a playoff. It's actually the same amount of games for those teams because you're going to have eight teams Guess what happens the first weekend? Four get eliminated. Wow. That's wild. That's crazy. It's just, they're just so stupid. It's just so stupid. While everybody else is expanding their playoffs, baseball, NFL, everybody is expanding their playoffs, and college football, can't do that. Nope, wouldn't want to do it. Just stupid. Ever, forever not having any playoffs. Right? Just can't do that because we don't do that. Okay, all right, now look at it. Now look at how good it is and how much more money you can make from the networks. But nope, can't do that because we're college football. Because we're stupid. Honestly, it's just, to me, it's just ridiculous. Who runs this? And who what idiot is running this? We need Mickey running this is what we need.
Oh, don't worry. Mickey would love to run it.
Oh, Mickey would boss everybody around. Don't worry.
Mickey
don't
would
worry.
Love. What did I tell you about saying my name, John? You keep saying my name, John. What did I tell you?
I want to make you the boss, okay?
You want to make me the boss. You know what the boss wants? For you to stop saying my name. Watch yourself. Mickey that. There's going to be no more John talking. How do you think you got the COVID? Who do you think gave that to you? Watch yourself.
I didn't get the COVID, okay?
Okay, yet.
I know one thing.
Not yet.
I know one thing. I tested negative. I don't know about you two. I know this. I tested negative.
Well, not like Mickey couldn't doctor a test. Keep joking around, John.
I don't know about you, Mick, but I tested negative.
Keep saying my name. Keep saying my name.
I want to introduce you right now to the MMA law firm. They're fighting back, getting you more for your insurance claim. If you have an insurance claim in right now, and your insurance company is hemming and hawing, if your insurance company is denying you coverage that you already purchased and they're acting in bad faith, you could be entitled up to three times your damage amount. But you can't do that on your own. You need the professionals. This is what they do all day, every day. And, oh, by the way, the hurricane season is coming, the rain season, the flood season. It's all coming your way. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to have issues. And if you do have issues, think of these guys because they're the ones that deal with insurance companies every single day. Zach Mosley is an ESPN listener, and McClenny, Mosley, and Associates are fighting for us against the insurance company. LargeLossAttorneys.com. And here's the best thing. They front all expenses. If they win, their payment will come from the recovery, not out of your pocket. No settlement, no fees. LargeLossAttorneys.com. You get a free, no-obligation consultation with expert attorneys. Find out for yourself. Tell them you heard it right here. LargeLossAttorneys.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Something I missed yesterday, so it is a bit time sensitive, but you know movies are trying to find a way to get people in to see things. Well, it's kind of got a drive-through thing going on here. So if you want to see American Psycho tonight at the Rooftop Cinema in Spring... We'll get you that information over the phone. But if you wanted to do that tonight, it's at 11 p.m. So it's the summer. So anybody you can fit in one car can go see American Psycho tonight. And so caller 7, if you're interested in that. I mean, I know people are looking for things.
Is that a Sawyer Yards?
Yeah, Sawyer Yards. Yeah, that's I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, 1700 Post Oak Boulevard. Man, 11 o'clock, but PM. Golly, I love American Psycho.
Yeah, so if you're interested in that movie, Christian Bale, one of his breakout roles, it's tonight at 11 p.m., that's the showing, and like I said, it's a spot for one vehicle. It doesn't matter how many people you can fit in that car, So if you got a big minivan, that's fine. But it's a spot for one. You can watch American Psycho at the Rooftop Cinema, Sawyer Yards, tonight at 11. Caller 7, and make sure you can go. I know it's short notice, but it is summer. So if you got that opportunity, you want to take the kids out tonight, Sawyer Yard, American Psycho.
I don't know that I'd take the kids out.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
American
well,
Psycho.
If you got teenagers, maybe teenagers.
Yeah, teenagers. There's some scenes. There's some different scenes. Christian Bale. What's Christian Bale's name in that one?
I have to look it up.
He's not.
It's aggressive. The movie's aggressive.
I've never seen it.
Oh, John. You should watch today. Here's our phone number, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 7. You get the pass for your vehicle at the drive-in tonight. It's the drive-in, the Rooftop Cinema at Sawyer Yards. It's really cool spot. People love going there. So it's a Bret Easton Ellis. It's based on a Bret Easton Ellis book. It was in 1991, and it's pretty crazy. It's one of the most unusual, movies that I don't want to say most unusual movies you'll see, but it's one of the most unique movies you'll see, where basically you don't know what's going on in real life and what's going on in Christian Bale's head. Now this is jacked up Christian Bale. This is the one who's all rocked up like Batman. So he has a scene with the business card that's iconic, where he's just a sociopath. I mean, he's a sociopath, and you get to hear his inner dialogue. It's really, really good.
You mean like the sociopath that went off on the lighting guy behind the scenes
during the Terminator movie?
Oh, you mean Christian Bale?
Yeah,
Christian Bale.
So
he played himself, basically.
Well,
I can never
I don't know
get
if
over
he's
that
ever chainsawed
a
girl. In real life, I don't think he has. This one's probably worse.
Did you guys know that you were getting ripped off with your tuna on your canned tuna?
I haven't bought canned tuna.
In what way?
In a long time, so no.
So the CEO of Bumblebee Foods, which, by the way, he has totally sweet hair. It's all gray, and he's got a mullet. It's not a mullet because he's got long hair up top, though, too, but he's got hair down to his shoulders. Total with a suit and tie on. He's totally sweet. Christopher Leschewski, he's been convicted and he'll spend more than 3 years in federal prison for his role in a conspiracy to fix the price of canned tuna. He conspired with other tuna companies to keep the price up of tuna and setting the cost of packaged seafood. You were paying more than you needed to. And Chicken of the Sea executives, thank you, Chicken of the Sea. They blew the whistle on the scheme in 2015. So I just want you to know that America's working, okay? We got this guy with this hair. This guy's got to be shady with this hair. I'm telling you, do you see many executives that have who's the hockey guy on ESPN?
Not Barry.
Yeah, Barry Melrose.
Barry Melrose is who you're
talking
about?
Barry Melrose. He's got Barry Melrose's hair.
Well, like a big mullet or what? Slick
it's
back?
Not a Melrose. No, this isn't quite mullet because it's longer up top than a mullet. But it's sweet. And I'm just sure that if you have hair like that, you should go to prison. I'm just saying.
I'm sure Barry Melrose would like to know that.
Well, you're going to be shady. You're going to be shady. That's for sure. There's no question in my mind. So, just so you know, you guys know, oh, white privilege, Dell? No, I think not. Okay? If you're fixing the price of tuna, thank you. Sorry. You're going to prison.
That's a little bit scummy.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read that, AJ. Uh-uh. Because Fred has wonderful flowing locks. So, 713-780-3776.
What is, man, if you're still deciding, let's get away from Fred's hair.
Yeah, let's.
Sawyer Yards, American Psycho, we're still looking for a winner there. I know, it's 11 p.m., that's a little late, but if you're looking for something to do at night and you don't have any plans for tomorrow, this would be a good shot to get out. And you'll be socially distanced. You'll be in your own car. You can bring your own food, stuff like that. That'll be tonight. Fixing the price of tuna, it's scummy. But when's the last time you bought a can of tuna, John?
I got tuna, Lance, in there. Well, here's the problem is you buy tuna and you just put it in there in case there's ever a world war or something, and it'll stay. I've got tuna in the cabinet. I think about, I'll probably make some tuna salad and never do. Never do. Yeah.
So we have the tuna. My family gets it all the time. There's two people who eat it, my wife and my son Mason. But it's an individual packaged, sealed package. It's not in a can.
I used to
eat them in a can, but I got tired of the price fixing, so I was out. I'm like, y'all aren't punking me like this.
Oh, you don't think they price fixed the packages too? What is wrong with you?
So we have a class action lawsuit we can get to?
Here's the deal is I paid more. I probably paid like about 4 or 5 cents more for this can of tuna. I want my money. Pay that man his money.
Well, let's get it.
Let's go.
Hey,
we never talked about this. Did you guys see Lamar Jackson jump over the jet ski?
Yes, people are talking about him taking a tumble. He didn't get hurt by it, did he?
No, he landed in water.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I saw is that no one could get anywhere near him. That's what I was paying attention to.
Yeah. No, did you see? Well, yeah, especially on the beach. See, he and Johnny Manziel work out the same on the beach. Look what's happened for both of them. How great they are.
I feel like things went in different directions for both those Heisman winners.
Well, that's you think that.
No, but everyone. You could just watch.
No. I mean, it's proven by Johnny's. Look at Johnny's stats last year.
What stats?
How many parties did Lamar go to? How many parties did Johnny go to?
Johnny wins. I'm sure Lamar's from Miami. I'm sure he got to go to plenty of parties being the MVP of the league.
Johnny wins. No, he's probably busy working out and caring about football.
After the season, I'm sure he went to a lot of parties.
No, I'm sure he was worried about football instead of parties, which ain't the way Johnny's going about it.
You know what I'm worried about? Well, I'm worried about how the NBA season is going to come off. We'll talk to Keith Smith in the next segment, top of the hour. But what I'm really worried about is how do I get drunk watching the NBA?
Well, I don't know if I can tell you how to get drunk. I'm telling you how you can improve the experience with Blackland Distillery. See, Blackland Distillery is the gentleman's and the gentle lady's spirit of choice. And, well, it's the distillery of choice. The spirit is your choice. Maybe you're going to go with their gin. Maybe it's the vodka, which has a nice subtle sweetness at the very end of that. Many people are drinking it on the rocks, and they're not even mixing it with anything. It's my buddy Sean just says, hey, I'm going in with the Blackland vodka on the rocks, a little hint of lime, a little lime squeeze, and that's it. And we're good to go, and that's how smooth it is. Speaking of smooth, that's what the bourbon is. And the bourbon is one of the most heralded spirits that they have because of their unique flavor profile and the process that it takes to get it there. You know, for somebody who is a grain-to-glass distillery, it's rare to have four heralded spirits like Blackland has, but they are really getting huge in the Texas market. They started in Fort Worth, and they have branched out, and they're getting into more and more stores here in Houston. If your favorite restaurant or store doesn't have Blackland Distillery, ask them to start carrying it and experience it for yourself. And if you head north at all during this summer or in the fall, make sure that you get your reservation to stop in and go through a tasting at blacklanddistillery.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.